Welcome to the Boricua Culture Mix. I'm one of your hosts, Wilma Lebron Moore.
And I'm Diane Rivera.
And this is where La Isla meets the diaspora.
Échate pa'cá, te hice café.
Hola, hola.
Hey, hey.
Welcome back to the Boricua Culture Mix pod. Hey, Josie.
Hola, Wilma.
I missed you.
I missed you too.
I'm glad to be here in person.
And I missed this coffee.
Pero te lo traje. I promised you, and I completed my promise, listeners, okay? I stopped at the very busy Santana's Bakery in Camden. Cried a little bit because I had a parallel park, and I hate that for myself. And if anyone knows, River Road is super busy in Camden on Sundays.
It is.
And so I found a spot. Barely.
Oh, God.
That was. That was, I'm pretty sure he's busy with a lot of things, but he made sure that I had a parking spot.
That was right, because he knew I needed this coffee.
and I brought you a quesito.
Que eso no podía faltar.
Hello. So, all in all, I was like, tú sabes que Josie no necesita, y lo, I promised her. Y lo debimos. So,
right.
Cumplimos.
Right. Thank you very much.
Pero oye, Josie,
okay.
We have a very special episode this week.
We do.
And I'm very excited.
Me too.
And it is for the grace of me being like a SoundCloud rapper. When our things drop, I am in everyone's comments. Dándole promoción a mi episodio. And so I do really feel like those SoundCloud rappers, it's like, yo, check out my mixtape. Y yo le tiré en uno de los comentarios of this very great organization. Mm-hmm. And so, without further ado, we are going to recognize and introduce, we have a special guest.
Okay.
So, mi gente, en este episodio, we are going to talk to a very special guest, como dije, Mr. Alberto Medina. He is from Bud PR, which we spoke about on the pod when they were having the conversations of United Nations and things of that nature. And so we want to make sure that we introduce him and recognize all the hard work that Bud PR, what he's around and about, and seeing further compromiso. Alberto, llegaste al Boricua Culture Mix Pod. ¿Cómo estás?
Llegué. Saludos a todos. Thank you for having me. It's just wonderful to be here with both
thank
of you,
you
and with your audience. And excited for this conversation. Doing great.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Y Alberto, tú has sido un comentario bien comprometido, ¿verdad? Con la visión, con la conversación que pudimos tener antes de tenerte, ¿verdad? En el pod, algo que resonated con nosotras dos fue el término de la independencia no necesita un plan, ¿verdad? Y eso como que, we were like, you're right, it doesn't, ¿verdad?
Uh-huh.
Y eso queremos hablarlo un poquito más. Pero antes de eso, queremos saber de dónde tú vienes.
Pues mira, yo vengo de San Juan, Puerto Rico, donde tengo el placer de estar ahora mismo. Estoy aquí en la madre patria de vacaciones visitando a mi familia. Desafortunadamente no tengo boletos para Bad Bunny, pero bueno, no.
Oh.
You can't have it all in the world.
Right.
But yeah, I'm born and raised in Puerto Rico. I've sort of lived between here and there, as so many of us, you know, do now. You know, lived in Boston for a while. I went to college in the States. I was here from 2016 to 2020, so during Hurricane Maria, Verano del 19, all of that.
Wow.
Good, entre comillas, stuff. And then since very end of 2020, beginning of 2021, been in Colorado, and been working and now helping to lead Boricua Sonidos en la Diáspora.
Wow. ¿Y cómo llegaste tu Boricua Unidos por la Diáspora?
Pues mira, yo siempre, como tantos puertorriqueños, pues vivimos un poco obsesionados con el tema del estatus de Puerto Rico. You know, obsessed in a good way and a bad way, right? But in a good way, because I think it's necessary, because you should be obsessed with injustice and with, you know, things that that hopefully we should all feel compelled to speak out on or do something about. Y, you know, mi preparación académica es en literatura, es como de comunicador, escritor, editor. So I started doing that, especially when I was living in the U.S., you know, writing about Puerto Rico, as you know, because this is the big giant hole that, you know, folks like you are trying to fill. There's so little information, there's so little commentary, debate, you know, writing, podcasts, everything about Puerto Rico. It's getting better, like I said, thanks to folks like you. But it's still a huge hole that needs to be filled. And as someone who, you know, sort of understood the reality of the island, but also kind of understood how things, you know, moved in the U.S., I started writing about Puerto Rico. And that's kind of how I got into having a public voice on the issue of Puerto Rico status and Puerto Rican politics in general. And then when I moved to Colorado, I just connected with one of the original co-founders of Boricuas Unidos en la Diaspora, Luis Ponce Ruiz, who's still one of our leaders and board members. He just happened to have been living in Colorado. I happened to move to Colorado, all of it for, you know, personal reasons that had nothing to do with Puerto Rico. But when I connected with him and with the organization, you know, I found that it was a group that was trying to do something that I felt really passionately about, which is, you know, ask and answer the question, what can we do from here? ¿Qué podemos hacer nosotros los puertorriqueños en la diáspora, en Estados Unidos principalmente, que no pueden hacer los puertorriqueños en la isla por la falta de poder, por todas las cuestiones de la colonia de las que estoy seguro que vamos a hablar? Así que esa fue pues mi interés, ese siempre había sido mi interés, y encontré una organización que tenía esa misma visión y esa misma misión, así que it was kind of a match made in heaven.
Absolutely. Y una de las cosas, you know, segueing con esa premisa, es like, ¿cómo tú te sientes, verdad? Porque, claro, te mudaste de Puerto Rico hacia los Estados Unidos. ¿Cómo te sientes ser parte de este movimiento desde la diáspora?
Pues mira, yo siempre digo que hasta cierto punto yo, y yo creo que muchos de nosotros que hacemos este trabajo, we do it so we can sleep a little bit better at night. ¿Sabes? No, yo creo que a todos nos duele no estar en nuestra tierra, en nuestra patria, no estar en la isla. Y como te digo, it's almost an obsession, a compulsion. Es como que yo tengo que hacer algo. Yo tengo que hacer algo para poder sentirme un poquito mejor del hecho de que no estoy aquí con mis padres, con mi familia, con mis amigos en mi tierra. Y así que me siento eso, ¿verdad? Esa responsabilidad de hacer algo con el privilegio, entre comillas, que tenemos, porque it's not all good and it's not all, you know, wine and roses living in the U.S. as a Puerto Rican. But, you know, it does confer, like I said, some power, some privileges that we have that people on the island don't. So, you know, I feel that sense of responsibility. It feels good to be trying to do something, you know, for my people, for what I believe is right for us and what we need to move forward. But yeah, I mean, it's bittersweet, it's hard, it's challenging, it's all the things.
Absolutely, absolutely. Y Alberto, vimos que has sido trabajado mano a mano con sindicatos y luchas labores en la isla. Cuéntanos un poco sobre ese trabajo.
Pues sí, mira, nosotros queremos ser un puente entre la isla y la diáspora. Y nuestra misión, que es pues educar, organizar y abogar, ¿sabes? Advocate a favor de la independencia, depende de esas conexiones. Así que, you know, we seek out partners, we seek out movements that are fighting the good fight in Puerto Rico. For example, for several years we've been part of the Puerto Rico No Se Vende campaign, led by the Center for Popular Democracy, against gentrification, against Act 22, and all this stuff happening in Puerto Rico that I know you guys have talked about a lot in your podcast already. So, you know, we're trying to build a movement for decolonization and independence, but we understand that movement and that issue goes hand in hand with so many other issues and movements. So we're always trying to build those relationships, build those ties, and frankly, to get a lot of people who, you know, might talk about these other issues but might not connect it to the colonial status to make those connections. Porque una de las cosas que nosotros pensamos y siempre decimos, muchos de estos otros problemas son los síntomas. La colonia es la enfermedad. And you're not going to get too far treating the symptoms without treating the disease, because the fever is going to come back, you know, the pain is going to come back if you don't treat the underlying disease. So we kind of think about our work on other issues in that with that framework too.
That's a really good imagery to use, right? I think a lot of people kind of can get focused on like one symptom and be like, well, no, this is how you do it. So like to recognize that no, if we're going to cure it, we're going to have to attack it from all different laos and ensure that we can really like treat this properly. So that's really, really good imagery to use.
Sí, ¿no? Y no, ¿sabes? Una de las cosas que a mí más me llamó la atención cuando conocí sobre la organización, right, de Boricua Unidos por la Diáspora fue esa colaboración, ¿verdad? Que había entre otros sindicatos que estaban conectados con ustedes, porque políticamente muchos de ellos tienen una misma visión, ¿verdad? Pero para mí fue más bien ver esa conexión de la diáspora y las luchas, ¿sabes? De otros sindicatos o luchas obreras que quieren un mejor para Puerto Rico, ¿verdad? ¿Ha habido algunos momentos o ejemplos o acciones concretas que tú puedas decir que tú puedes ver cómo ha cambiado la visión de la gente de la diáspora o de la gente? O sea, hablamos más de la diáspora, claro, porque vivimos acá.
Uh-huh.
Y para informar y educar a la diáspora sobre lo que está pasando en Puerto Rico, porque todos queremos volver a la isla algún día, ¿verdad? Esa es la misión. Pero a muchos se nos hace bien difícil, ¿verdad? El poder volver por el estatus en el que estamos, ya sea por
el día a día.
El día a día, por nuestra. Cada persona aquí no tiene sus necesidades, ¿verdad?
Uh-huh.
Y no podemos volver a la isla. Pero ¿has visto algo, una acción concreta que tú puedas decir, ok, estamos logrando algo?
Pues mira, yo creo que los cambios políticos que se han vivido en Puerto Rico en los últimos 8 o 10 años también están sonando en la diáspora, tú sabes, they're reverberating and people are changing kind of everywhere. Okay. Cuando digo cambios políticos, estoy hablando sobre todo desde el huracán María para acá, el apoyo que ha crecido hacia la soberanía, hacia la independencia, hacia el Partido Independentista, esta nueva generación, tú sabes, generación de la crisis, como dice mucha gente, que también se convirtió, como bautizaron Bad Bunny Residente, en la generación del Yo No Me Dejo, tú sabes.
El San Benito.
Exacto. A real. See, no, we're going to end up saying Bad Bunny like 20 times during this conversation because he's...
Right.
It's impossible to avoid right now. Yeah. Pero... and actually, I think that, you know, Bad Bunny is a big part of how, like, some of these
right.
issues and conversations and things that are happening on the island are reaching the diaspora. Because, you know, Puerto Ricans in Pennsylvania or in Kansas or Alabama, like we were talking about, might not be reading the, you know, El Nuevo Día, right? Puerto Rico's newspaper.
Right.
But they're listening to Bad Bunny's album and Bad Bunny's, you know, bringing up this stuff. But yeah, all of that is to say, o sea, yo creo que los cambios en la visión de lo que es posible y de lo que no es posible en Puerto Rico que se están dando y que han llevado pues a resultados electorales bien distintos en Puerto Rico, también se están viviendo en Estados Unidos y honestamente, obviamente nosotros lo vemos bien de cerca, pero you know, one of the biggest kind of proofs we have of that is just the growth of our own organization. The fact that, like, almost every day, you know, or at least every week, people reach out to us and say, like, hey, we want to talk to you guys, or we want to collaborate with you guys, or we want to find out more about Puerto Rico, or let's do an event. You know, whatever it may be, I think people are hungry to learn more and to do something about the issue of Puerto Rico status. And, you know, we can talk about things that have happened in Congress and stuff that we've played a part in when it comes to legislation and stuff like that, which at the end of the day, there's a lot of concrete action that does happen, even if it doesn't turn into like a bill that becomes a law, just because nothing turns into a bill that becomes a law in, you know, in Congress right now, at least, especially when it comes to Puerto Rico. So that's part of the challenge. Like, there is a lot of work that gets done that never, you know, kind of sees the light of day, just because, you know, at the end of the day, it's American politics, and that's a whole other...
Not the sells, so it gets kind of, like, buried.
Exacto. Pero yo creo que sí, tanto en la isla como en Estados Unidos, como en el resto del mundo, como estábamos hablando, que hay boricua en el resto del mundo, there's something in the air, you know? Like,
yeah.
Something is happening, something is changing, there's a new sense of possibility that I think is coming from here, from the island. So good to be able to say here when I'm in Puerto Rico right now.
You have to throw it in our face again.
I'm sorry. But yeah, I think, you know, it's kind of coming from here, from the land even, and sort of floating its way toward the diaspora, and I think people are picking up on it.
For sure, for sure. And speaking of that,
we've all done it. Stock our fridge with good intentions, only to sacrifice nutrition for convenience. Keep your body and mind nourished with whole body meal shakes from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But it actually tastes delicious. Try one of Kachava's indulgent flavors today. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags. Go to kachava.com and use code NEWS. That's KACHAVA.com, code NEWS.
Yes, but, hay mucha gente, como tú dijiste, quiere ayudar y no sabe o se siente insegura, right? I know that, like, part of our pre-pod conversation, the mention of this came through, right? And so, in talking about what you had said, like, a lot of people are reaching out and saying, how do we do this? How do they do this? How do they come through and join this movement in whatever which way they can, whether through Bud PR specifically and any other abilities as well?
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, that answer is going to be different for every person, right? Depending on who they are and what they're interested in, you know, and kind of what skills they have or what they feel compelled to work on. You know, just as I say that it's important to tackle the disease as well as the symptoms, there's a lot of work to do on the symptoms too. And if you, you know, want to work on energy independence and support that and support solar power, you know, hey, go talk to Casa Pueblo or donate to Casa Pueblo or figure out how to volunteer with them. If you want to, you know, support people trying to just literally put food on the table in Puerto Rico, whether it's local farmers and the food sovereignty movement or comedores sociales, you know, organizations like that, that are doing that work. So I think people, you know, should ask themselves first and foremost, like, what do you feel compelled to do? But like I said, you know, for us and for our fight, you know, we think the reason why so many of these things are still problems, the answer to this question that I think a lot of people ask themselves of, like, ¿por qué las cosas no mejoran en Puerto Rico? Like, no, año tras año, década tras década, no importa quién esté gobernando, en Estados Unidos o en Puerto Rico, like, why don't things get better? Because we haven't tackled the root cause. So, you know, and because people have been really hesitant to get involved in that conversation for all sorts of complicated reasons. So, you know, our organization, we're not the only one, but I do think that we are, you know, one of the very, very few organizations that does, you know, direct political advocacy and directly pro-independence advocacy for Puerto Rico in the United States. You know, there's a lot of other orgs out there that, you know, will say, well, we believe in self-determination or in decolonization. And at least from my perspective, if you say that to, like, a random American who doesn't understand this issue, they're just going to go like, okay, I still don't know what you want. Like, I don't know what that means, you know? And for some people, you know, decolonization means statehood, and that's a different thing. So, you know, we really believe in the importance that the first step to winning any political battle, any battle for justice, is to say what you want and say it kind of loud and proud and organize around it. So, you know, that's one of the big pillars of our mission. I always say, you know, we do education, we do organization, we do advocacy. And that organization piece of just empowering people to, first and foremost, like, if you believe in independence, if you think, or if you're open to, you know, hearing that argument and having that conversation, it's okay to have, you know, even if you don't know everything, even if you haven't been that involved in politics, like, I'm an accidental activist. And, you know, I studied literature. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a politician. So that's something we really believe in, that everybody can get involved in this fight and in this movement. But it starts with believing that you have the ability and the responsibility to do it.
That's amazing. And I can definitely attest to that for a lot of people, even here, those in the different diaspora communities where we all be like, ¿quién soy yo? Who am I? What do we have? And we always preach time, treasure, and talent. Mm-hmm. Like, whichever those three you may have, like, give to that. We always shout out different organizations on the pod here, whether it's, like, stateside or island side. And so that's very important. I love that you put out, like, you know, if energy is what's important to you, don't reinvent the wheel. Go to this organization that's already doing it, like Casa Pueblo, or, you know, if it is food sovereignty, go to the Comedores Sociales, or if it's women's health, right, there's Taller Salud.
Mm-hmm.
So like, all of these things are really, really great. I think that that does give a good pathway for folks to take the stigma of, like, what's the saying, how do you eat an elephant? Mm-hmm. One piece at a time, right? And it becomes this, like, okay, well, this huge thing can actually get done, mm-hmm. pero paso a paso.
Exactly.
So thank you for reiterating that, for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. Entonces, una de las cosas que, como estás mencionando, y a mí, it resonated un poquito conmigo, fue en el sentido de que, tú sabes, en las últimas elecciones en Puerto Rico, el estatus de Puerto Rico, ¿verdad?, pues tuvo presencia, como yo digo,
mm-hmm.
Y la mayoría, pues, votó a favor, ¿verdad?, de que quieren que Puerto Rico sea un estado. Y, pero, cuando vemos mayormente, y puede ser mi perspectiva, ¿verdad?, pero cuando tú hablas con la gente en la calle, y es como si no fuera la misma visión, ¿verdad?, que se vio, o el mismo resultado que se vio en las elecciones, ¿verdad?
Right.
Y mucha gente tiene este afán como al miedo, ¿verdad? Porque nos han creado ese cuco, ¿verdad? No hagas esto porque el cuco te va a comer, ¿verdad? O te vas a dormir o el cuco te come. O el chupacabra, como dicen por ahí también. Pero, ¿sabes? Nos han metido este miedo de que no podemos mirar a la independencia como una opción porque se nos va y todo.
Right.
Se nos va todo lo que conocemos. Pero realmente nosotros tenemos que vivir por lo que tenemos, ¿verdad que sí? Una de las cosas, y esta fue la base de este podcast, fue la independencia sin perfección, ¿verdad? Ese es el título que nosotros le queremos poner a este podcast. Y queremos hablar contigo sobre esto, ¿verdad? ¿Por qué tú crees que mucha gente espera que nosotros tengamos un plan cuando ya la injusticia la vemos diariamente, ¿verdad? En Puerto Rico.
Los apagones.
Con todo lo que experimentamos. ¿Por qué tú crees que la gente espera un plan perfecto?
Pues mira, yo creo que son muchas cosas, y algunas han sido, como tú dices, bien dices, muy bien a propósito, campañas de miedo, narrativas que vienen, tú sabes, de la Guerra Fría, de hace 60 años, tú sabes, de atar a la independencia con la pobreza, con el comunismo, con todas esas cosas que todavía la gente repite como papagayo, porque pues eso es lo que aprendieron, that's all they've ever heard in their lives, que la independencia es eso. Sí, hay que reconocer que la independencia hasta cierto punto es como un salto al vacío, ¿verdad? Nadie estaba a punto de citar a Bad Bunny otra vez, nadie sabe lo que va a pasar mañana. Y hasta cierto punto, es verdad, tú sabes, it's a whole new world, se tienen que crear instituciones nuevas y eso. Claro, a whole new world para Puerto Rico. Hay 200 naciones en el mundo independientes y muchas de ellas fueron colonias, tú sabes, empezando por toda Latinoamérica, toda África, gran parte de Asia, que han hecho estas transiciones, y no es que todas lo han hecho súper exitosamente, pero es lo otro que tú dices, tú sabes, no podemos esperar a que todo va a ser perfecto, a que todo va a ser inmediatamente exitoso. Life doesn't work that way. And I always tell people this, and I don't know if we talked about it, like, when you turn 18 and you leave your parents' house, you don't know if it's going to go well for you. You don't know if you're going to be, like, rich or poor, or you're going to struggle, or you're going to be drinking, you know, or eating ramen noodles or whatever it is. Like, you just understand, like, this is the thing to do naturally, to become independent as an individual, be able to live my own life, make my own decisions. And you sort of accept a level of risk that comes with that, right? That you might struggle,
right.
That you might have times when things aren't going great, but you still think, like, being independent, being able to be my own person, is worth it. Y yo creo que en Puerto Rico, pues, necesitamos un poco de ese mismo sentir sobre la independencia. Y creo que el otro es que, no es que, fíjate, dijiste, no, para la independencia no necesitamos un plan. Yo creo que sí hace falta un plan, pero no es el trabajo ni la responsabilidad de todo el que cree en la independencia crear ese plan.
Exacto. Y
Porque eso requiere, tú sabes, unos niveles de peritaje, like, a, you know, macroeconomic, post-colonial development, economics, you know, tú sabes. And we can't live in a world in which only if you are an expert who's willing to read and write a 600-page report, you know, only if you do that, then you can say you're for independence. Because we don't do that for any other issue. Nosotros no esperamos ese tipo de expertise de alguien que te dice que quiere luchar contra el cambio climático o que quiere resolver el problema de las armas de fuego en Estados Unidos or whatever it may be. So, yeah, it's an interesting question, and I think, you know, I have part of the answer. I don't know if I have the full answer. Like, why did we create this expectation and this kind of double standard compared to every other issue where we expect someone who tells you they believe in independence to be able to answer every single question about how it's going to go in a hypothetical future that we can't even control everything before you accept it?
I think it definitely comes down to, like, fear as well, right? This, like, the fear of the unknown for a lot of folks, which is valid, understandable.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that there's also this, like, lack of understanding and knowledge, because it's not like other countries have done this before, right? Like, they've fought their way to liberation. Casi messy, you know, a little messy.
Yeah.
Maybe with some errores, pero still with the necessity that it has to be independent, right? Like, even Haiti, right? They've had their independence. They've also had their issues, but they have their independence. India, 1947, right? Like, other countries who have done this. I mean, even with South Africa, like, they knew apartheid was horrible. Mm-hmm. Something had to be done. Did they do it perfectly? No. But they knew something had to be done. And I think that there's this purposefully disconnection to information in this space, not to reach out to other, like, how-to movements, as well as this, like, general fear. I know that we have talked about this on the pod, too, about our parents before migrating to the States, and how we talk to them now about, like, what we think. It's two different radical pensamientos, yeah. Right? My dad is one who's like, Wilma, es que la gente se va a morir. And I'm like, papi, es que la gente se está muriendo. Like, it's happening now, exacto. Right? And, but he has this, like, mind you, has not lived on the island for forever and a day, but, you know, just the back and forth as anyone else. And I'm just like, this stronghold that if we leave the United States, we'll just fall. Where is this coming from? Where is this belief coming from when you have not seen it in your lifetime any other way?
Right.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the part that you said about not understanding how this has gone for other countries, or just not having the, you know, the ability or the wherewithal or whatever it is to look outside of the U.S. context, you know, that's part of what colonialism does too. It gives you this, like, tunnel vision where, like, we only los puertorriqueños nada más miramos hacia Estados Unidos para todo. And the people who do look beyond that and have, like, done this kind of work, I always cite el Dr. José Caraballo Cueto, who's an economist in Puerto Rico, who actually did do a 600-page study on, you know, on the economic consequences of each political status. And as part of that, he did a comparative study on what has happened to the economy of other, you know, nations, former colonies, after independence. And he comes to this really striking conclusion that, except for in one case, which I think is Gabon in Africa, every single nation that had in a GDP, you know, a gross domestic product that was similar to Puerto Rico's at the time that it achieved its independence has done better economically after independence. Wow. This is, you know, very, like, careful, you know, PhD economics work, right? That flies against, I think, what most people assume, you know, is the case that, like, oh, you lost the support of the British Empire, of the French Empire, you know, Empire, and you struggled and you became poor. No, most of these countries are doing better.
Absolutely.
So I think that's part of it. And then I think the other thing that you know, colonialism does is that it's, and, you know, people talk about this as a, that's why it's important to talk about colonialism as a psychological phenomenon too. Nos ha quitado la confianza en nosotros mismos. La autoestima. Entonces yo creo que la gente piensa que los puertorriqueños, que en Puerto Rico no hay expertos, que en Puerto Rico no hay líderes, que en Puerto Rico no hay gente inteligente. Porque cuando yo pienso que yo no necesito saber cuál es el plan perfecto para la independencia, it's because I trust that there's other people out there who have got it. It doesn't have to be me. That's not what I studied. Like, that's not what I know. I read books.
I was listening and reading Wuthering Heights.
Exactly. I'm with the Bronte sisters. I'm not, yeah. Yeah. But, like, I know they're out there because they're out there in every society. And I'm, you know, I'm now, and know who some of them are. And that's, and that helps. But, like, why would, but there's this assumption, I think, sometimes that we just don't have, like, smart people who could figure this stuff out and who have already been, you know, writing and proposing and, you know, and getting PhDs and stuff that's more useful than literature. Like, we have those people, guys, and, like, it's a little bit of an act of trust, too.
You still use the degree, though. You still use the degree.
Now, yeah, now I feel like I'm using it, but... But yeah, I mean, we got to believe in ourselves a little bit as a people, you know?
Yeah, that, and that's also sad what you said.
We've all done it. Stock our fridge with leafy greens and good intentions, only to have our future self sacrifice quality nutrition for the convenience of takeout. Keep your body and mind nourished all day with a whole body meal shake from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But the best part? It actually tastes delicious. With 6 indulgent flavors to choose from, it's easy to make a superfood-packed shake. From chocolate, vanilla, and chai, to matcha, coconut acai, and strawberry, you've got endless ways to personalize your Kachava. Whether you prefer it straight up or enjoy adding fruit, peanut butter, nut milk, or even iced coffee, with every 2 scoops of Kachava, you're getting 85-plus superfoods, nutrients, and plant-based ingredients. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags with code NEWS at kachava.com. That's 30% off for a limited time at kachava.com, code NEWS.
As you were talking, I instantly thought complacency, mm-hmm. right? This, like, thought that, like, we don't have it so someone else can have it. And it's like, no, like you said, like, you may not know someone now, but there's someone coming. There's somebody studying in La UPE right now. That's getting it together. That's gonna have, you know, probably a 20-point plan. But either way, right? Like, there's still other aspects of people who have this level of professionalism that can assist in our island and in the preservation of our culture and traditions. And speaking of that, we wanted to segue a little bit to, like, just some other aspects of Puerto Rican life and cultural pride. As you said, you are currently on the island. We will be there soon, but still. You're there now. And we wanted to, like, get a feel, like, you know, we've talked about a little bit about Bad Bunny. Like, how does the island feel on this trip versus during his residency versus when this wasn't around? Like, are you noticing any differences outside of just, like, you know, capitalization on the residency?
Yeah, no, it's a really good question, because I was just having this conversation, you know, with a friend of mine the other day, that if you read a lot of what's getting reported in the U.S. media, you know, about Bad Bunny and the residency, it's all about the economic impact. And, oh, let's figure out how much, you know, money this is going to make for Puerto Rico, which, you know, in a way is its own kind of sign of how the U.S. and the U.S. media views Puerto Rico. You know, it's all about money. Yeah. It's all about, like, who's benefiting.
They're trying to cash out. They want their money back.
Exactly.
Okay,
yeah. And actually, a journalist I really respect, Susan Ramirez de Arellano, wrote a good piece about this for Bloomberg, of all places, which is kind of like a financial publication, saying, like, hey, forget about the economic impact for a minute. Let's talk about the cultural impact. Let's talk about the cultural renaissance, about this, you know, celebration of identity and national pride. And so I do, you know, feel that here and in conversations I'm having with friends and in the fact that, you know, if people are getting up at 5 a.m. to try to get, like, the 50,000 person, like, online ticket line for the for the limited day of tickets. Like, you know, it's a phenomenon, and I don't think it's just because people want to go and, like, dance and listen to the songs and have a good time. Like, you know, I think it's a lot deeper than that. I think people, you know, whether they're actually able to go to the concert or, like me, just watching the clips on Twitter and trying to feel like I'm there. You know, I think there's a feeling of being a part of something, of celebrating something that, like Bad Bunny himself sings.
This big, this monumental, like, there is that desire of just being on the prefaces of it or on the side of it, you know? Mm-hmm. Let's just say I was there. I saw.
Yeah.
But it feels like a historical, you know, moment and like part of that wave that I was talking about, that, you know, it's this, it's the election results, it's, you know, people who hit the streets in 2019 to oust Ricardo Rosselló. It's right. all of these feel like little kind of, you know, steps on a ladder or something that's leading somewhere. And I'm still not exactly sure where it's leading. I know right. Where I hope it's leading, but but we'll see. Yeah. But it all feels like kind of, you know, different parts of a movement that has its cultural manifestations, you know, its political manifestations. Y de verdad que se siente como un momento bien, bien emocionante y de muchas posibilidades.
Exactly.
For sure. I can't wait till like one of these universities like set up a class where they like dissect this whole entire residency. I'm gonna sign up. Because like you said, like outside of the economic sense, the cultural stance of it too, like just being on social media, seeing the young folks, you know, Generation Z come up with like the costuming to go there, the way they reimagine like the El Jíbaro, which has also been a big symbol for Bad Bunny.
Yeah.
And or even La Flamuñan, right? Like the way that they've been incorporating the flower and all these things. Or even just all over versus like what does this identity mean to them? Like we had talked, I think like what, two episodes ago? Last episode, a couple showed up con una empanadilla and an icy disfraz. And it was like, that is so Puerto Rican. It makes so much sense they're going to come to this show dressed that way because the reference is understandable, it's palpable. So it's really cool to see that level of identity, of resurgence of, because we have talked about too how el jíbaro or jíbara was such a dirty word when you would migrate from the island to the States, and now how it's been a reclamation of pride.
But even in the island, ¿verdad? Tú sabes, si tú eras de una área de que no eras de, por ejemplo, de la área de San Juan o de Metro, pues tú eras un jíbaro, ¿verdad? Like, así que la gente de, you know, hablaba de los otros pueblos. O sea, para mí, lo más que me emociona de esto es ver que esto puede ser una ventana, ¿verdad? A lo que estamos hablando, de que no es que no necesitamos un plan, simplemente es que el plano tiene que estar perfectamente escrito, ¿verdad?
Right.
Y estamos viendo que la isla puede generar, claro, ya sea lo económico, ¿verdad? Porque yo creo que mucha gente está tan apegada a eso porque es lo único que ha conocido por muchísimo tiempo. Pero mi pregunta, Alberto, que te tengo, y es una buena, yo siempre he querido hacer una pregunta sobre esto, y es que, ¿sabes? Bad Bunny ha hecho este resurgir, ¿verdad? De que este orgullo boricua entre los jóvenes, ¿verdad? ¿Tú crees que esto tenga algún impacto político en las próximas elecciones?
Yo creo que sí, yo creo que... Digo, obviamente voy a decir que sí, pero no, pero de verdad lo creo. Y creo que lo tuvo en las pasadas elecciones. Obviamente, Bad Bunny no solo apoyó abiertamente a Juan Dalmau, el candidato del Partido Independentista y de la Alianza, sino que también gastó decenas de miles, o quién sabe si cientos de miles de dólares en anuncios, criticando al PNP, el partido que favorece la estadidad, y haciéndole campaña en contra. Y aunque ese partido finalmente ganó, it was a lot closer than it's ever been, you know, for a pro-independence candidate to come in second, you know, to get a third of the vote, basically. Y él es alguien que, sabe, todos los días es más obvio que cree en la independencia. Con el, sabe, los mensajes que pone sus canciones, el simbolismo en sus videos. Fue a NPR Tiny Desk y dijo, viva Puerto Rico Libre, tú sabes. So... And it's the generational thing too, you know. I think what I hope he's doing, and what I think has needed to happen for a long time, is to connect cultural nationalism and political nationalism.
Yes.
Because I think pretty much everybody who's Puerto Rican, whatever they think about the political status, is a cultural nationalist in the sense of like, they wave the flag, they sing the songs, you know, all of these manifestations. Exacto.
Yes.
All of these manifestations of our identity, like, we value them and we, you know, we go...
I mean, even in sports, like...
Exacto.
As soon as we there's one Puerto Rican on the team. That's the one we're going
for. That's our team.
That's our team. Like a reality show,
right?
Yes.
Like even that, like yeah, you know, yeah. Like it really does bring people together. Where it's like, oh, that's one of ours. Okay, we're rallying.
But I mean, yeah. Think it's also like como la gente lo ve, verdad? Porque somos bien orgullosos cuando alguien está representando nuestra isla. Like we're there, verdad? Y yo creo que eso es algo que es un buen tema. Porque yo creo que mucha gente ve la política como algo tan serio, mm-hmm. algo que, ay, es que hay que estudiar tanto. Like, you know, like, y es algo que la gente dice, pues, que otro, somebody else figure
right,
it out.
Right.
And I'm just here, pues, voy a votar por el que venga y me visita mi casa. Because that has been the norm. Y yo creo que hay que, yo creo que Papua ha hecho una buena representación, como tú dices, Alberto, de conectar, ¿verdad?, esa cultura con lo político. Y abrirlo un poquito la curiosidad. Uh-huh. Y ese es lo otro, ¿verdad? Es la curiosidad de que puertorriqueña vaya e investigue el porqué de las cosas,
right.
¿verdad? Que cuestiones lo que aprendiste.
Or eso, even at its final quote, right? Politics is about who gets what and who is voted in so that who gets what. Uh-huh. And I think he's done a really good job of being like, y'all are not getting what you're voting for,
right?
Right? Like, you keep voting for something that you're not even getting in return. When are you going to wake up? And I think that that's like, even more so like his first day when his first image was, yo te lo dije, right? Which was also very important. And it's in response to his billboard that he put out about, you know, un voto por PNP, corrupción, or, you know, things of that nature. And I'm paraphrasing because I can't really remember the actual billboard. But the first one was, I told you this was going to happen, right? Like, I gave you this information. But I think that we really do kind of have to water down some things, and I think that for some people they don't want to like work at that level too,
right?
Like, we do have to water down some things in order for people to understand. Mm-hmm. We do have to give it at a basic level. We can't always highbrow it and, you know, all the letters behind our name because we went to these prestigious institutions. If we want the results that we get, we have to meet people where they are,
yeah.
and give them this information and animarlo to the point where it's like, now you truly do have this information. Now we can do something about it. And I think that we have to take a little bit of that echo chamber. Because, like, yes, everybody can yes you to death in response. But we also have to, like, come out our comfort zone and meet people where they have this belief. And we're going to have to recognize and study the why. Like, where's your dissonance coming from? And go from there. And then also, too, recognize that not everybody can come with us. Some people got to get left behind. They do.
No, I think that's right. And I think when people get, you know, that information, however they get it, that's the other piece we were talking about of like, it's okay if you don't know everything. Like,
right.
I promise you that you don't know everything, even about the things you think you know everything about. So, so, you know, we're all imperfect, you know, activists and advocates, and myself included, even on the things that we try to be super well informed on. And I don't think that perfection that you were talking about is not achievable anyway. And mm-hmm. if we stay silent or stay sitting down just because we think we don't know enough or whatever it is, like, that's what leads to inaction. That's what leads to nothing happening. Because if you don't stand up and say something, even if you're not exactly sure, you know, how best to put it or what's behind it, then the status quo, in this case, literally the colonial status quo, keeps winning because people aren't speaking up. So, you know, we gotta get more comfortable in our own uncertainty and our own doubts. Y pero alzar la voz como quiera, porque si nosotros no lo hacemos, no lo va a hacer más nadie.
Exacto, exactamente. Mira, una de las cosas que yo digo es, y algo que para que, por ejemplo, mi papá, yo tengo que tener esta conversación con mi papá, y dice, okay, si somos parte de los Estados Unidos, no vas a tener equipo de baloncesto, equipo de béisbol, equipo para que tú puedas decir soy orgullosamente puertorriqueño, ¿ok? Te lo estoy diciendo desde ahora. So, esta conversación me la tengo que tener con él, ¿verdad?
Sí.
Para que lo pueda ver en, como yo digo, en el arroz y habichuela, para que él lo pueda palpar de algo diferente.
Claro. No, y por eso el movimiento estadista ha tenido que básicamente mentir sobre eso por décadas. Y ellos juran que sí, que podemos ser Estado y seguir teniendo equipo olímpico y todas esas cosas. Pues yo no sé dónde está el equipo olímpico de Luisiana o de Nuevo México.
Right, it
Sí.
becomes the United States.
De hecho, por ley no se puede. Like, there's a law, there's a US law that says, you know, that the United States Olympic Committee is the only one that is legally allowed to like put forth an Olympic delegation in the United States. So a lot of this stuff is fantasies, but it shows que ellos mismos saben, los mismos estadistas saben el poder de ese nacionalismo cultural, el poder de ese equipo de baloncesto y que la gente no quiere perder eso. Y como tú le dices a tu familia, pues si no quieres perderlo, ese nacionalismo cultural tiene que también tener una dimensión política, porque sí lo perderíamos bajo la estadidad.
And speaking of that, like again to invoke el San Benito, with el tema este lo que pasó a Hawaii, not so much even just them losing sovereignty, but again to the cultural aspect, right? Like we see how a lot of natives are being priced out of paradise as they use it. And not just that, where culture becomes kind of a costume for tourism. And I think that a lot of Boricuas don't see that that can easily be us. So like when he's singing about this, it's not even so much of like don't become a state, but like all the other identifiers of who we are can easily be lost as well. So like that song has super layered for me from the moment that I've heard it, and I think that, and even with the residency, when Pedro Capo did he did his rendition, I was like, ooh, even more of a this hits close to home because it isn't just about becoming part of the United States, it's about losing so many other cultural identifiers of who we are as well.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, and I think that's a thing too, you know, we talk about like, oh, people don't know what happens under independence. Like there's also a lot of uncertainty about what happens under statehood. You know, not just in terms of culture and identity, but even economically. And this is something that the economist I mentioned, Caraballo Cueto, has looked at. You know, people think statehood just means like a lot more federal funding for Puerto Rico. And there would be a little bit of that. That's actually not as much as people think, because we already get, you know, a bunch of federal funding, and it's not enough to like keep us out of poverty. So clearly that doesn't work. And you know, we get like a little bit more, but it's not like it's gonna double, triple, quadruple. But here's what we would also
But
get:
the people out of poverty.
right, we would also get like full federal taxation, which having to pay federal income tax would not just be a huge burden on individuals, but also on the corporations that set up shop in Puerto Rico, precisely because they don't, you know, there's no full federal taxation here. So one of the points he's made is that if just 10 to 20% of corporations decided to leave for Malaysia or wherever after statehood, because now the tax situation isn't as advantageous for them, that would be enough to completely collapse Puerto Rico's economy.
Wow.
Who's talking about that when they talk about statehood and when they talk about how like, oh, everything's going to be better and we're going to be so much better economically? It's not all the positives, you know. So there's pros and cons to all of it. Like I'm someone who acknowledges that there's cons to independence. It would be silly to say that there's not. But let's talk about all of them, you know, instead of just talking about the pros of statehood and the cons of independence, because there's for, you know, enough of both for each option.
For sure, for sure.
Alberto, you know, te quiero darte las gracias por decir que sí, ¿verdad?
No,
En la
gracias a
conversación.
ustedes.
Porque de verdad que ha sido bien. Es necesaria, ¿verdad? Es necesaria, como tú
Sure.
dices. Tenemos que empezar a hablar y a educarnos, porque siempre usamos esa palabra de educar. Porque queremos un nuevo Puerto Rico, ¿verdad? Y queremos que, por ejemplo, yo quiero que mi hija crezca en Puerto Rico
Y
y ver
conocerlo.
y conocerlo, claro, y esa cultura que no se pierda, ¿verdad? Pero antes de cerrar, quiero que nos cuentes dónde la gente puede seguir a Boricuas Unidos por la Diáspora y apoyar este trabajo que ustedes hacen.
Seguro, seguro. Y muchas gracias a ustedes por la conversación también. Y gracias a todos por escucharnos. Y a todos los boricuas que yo sé que nos están oyendo, que realmente tienen esa misma pasión que nosotros tenemos. Y aunque no sepan todavía qué hacer con ella, pero yo les voy a decir. Pues mira, Boricuas Unidos en la Diáspora, nuestra página web es budpr.org, budpr.org. You can learn more about our organization there. You can sign up for our newsletter. You all said, you know, time, talent, or treasure. We'll take any of the three. So, but you can also donate to us there. We are an all volunteer organization. You know, none of us draws like a salary from this. We're doing this, a pulmón y como voluntario. So we definitely appreciate any support. Find us at budpr.org. Find us on social media. We're pretty much on every platform. We are Bud Puerto Rico on Instagram. That's our biggest platform. But if you just search Bud PR or Boricuas Unidos en la Diaspora on Twitter and LinkedIn and Facebook, you'll find us. And please connect with us. Please reach out. If you just want to learn more, if you just want to have a conversation about how you might get involved, we're happy to just hop on a Zoom meeting and chat and learn more about you and tell you more about our org. And like I said, we're all volunteers just doing this because we believe it's the right thing for Puerto Rico. So we need all the support we can get.
We love that. Y Alberto, before you go, we like to ask our guests, what song this week represents you?
Ooh, what song this week represents me? Well, I got to pick a Bad Bunny one now because we are... I'm going to cheat and I'm going to pick two. Okay. I'm gonna pick La Mudanza porque estoy en fucking R, and that feels good. But also, I'm here in my house, in my parents' house on vacation. I grew up listening to Juan Luis Guerra because my mom's Dominican, so I'm half Dominican. So definitely been getting into some of the old classics like Bachata Rosa. So I'm connecting with my nostalgia, with my family, but also living in the moment of Yo Soy de Pefoking R. So that's my...
Okay.
That's my two.
Love that. Two big powerhouses, and you're right. It hits because Juan Luis Guerra, if he wasn't playing at any of the parties, did you really have a party?
Right.
and La Mudanza is perfect. Bueno, Alberto, gracias por tu tiempo. We appreciate you having some time with us. And for all of our listeners, this was such a special treat. Me and Josie's heart were like going slide to the side. And being able to bring this all to you. So, like he said, please follow him on social media. Give any of your time, talent, and treasure, or all. And when you can, and give this some digestion of like, how exactly can you help and motivate and move forward to the betterment of our island.
Absolutely, y reflect, ¿verdad? Reflect que en vez que la independencia fuera como una fantasía, ¿qué tal si, fuera un derecho? Right? Vamos a reflexionar en eso.
All right.
Righty. Well, gracias, Alberto.
Gracias a ustedes.
Chao. Chao, cuídese.
We've all done it. Stock our fridge with leafy greens and good intentions, only to have our future self sacrifice quality nutrition for the convenience of takeout. Keep your body and mind nourished all day with a whole body meal shake from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But the best part? It actually tastes delicious. With 6 indulgent flavors to choose from, it's easy to make a superfood packed shake. From chocolate, vanilla, and chai, to matcha, coconut acai, and strawberry, you've got endless ways to personalize your cachava. Whether you prefer it straight up or enjoy adding fruit, peanut butter, nut milk, or even iced coffee, with every 2 scoops of cachava, you're getting 85 plus superfoods, nutrients, and plant-based ingredients. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags with code NEWS at cachava.com. That's 30% off for a limited time at kachava.com, code NEWS.